myself thinking about that sometimes, and not necessarily driving myself crazy with it, but just kind of like taking a time. I take time. Now you're getting into my thought process. This is what I think about. I say I don't think, and I don't think. But when I do think, this is what I think about. This kind of stuff, like what if stuff. And that plays a very big part in what I paint. What if? What if? What if? Like, what are the possibilities of this, that, and the other kind of coming together? And that's what I paint. When I do think, it's always like what if stuff that would never happen in reality. So I try to paint it. If it's at all possible. And I don't know if I even scratched the surface of the things I think about in when I think about those things and kind of put it in a way where it makes sense, like how I think about it. Because the mind is so multi-layered that as you think stuff, you're also thinking other stuff, and it's all interlaced in the mind. But to somehow capture that on a piece of paper, in a phrase, or even in a book, or even in a painting, is nearly impossible. Or in a film, you'd have to have 3 or 4 screens of the same film running at the same time, which is an interesting idea, to kind of get the idea of what the brain is thinking, or what the artist or the director or the writer of the film is thinking, and then putting it all together. And that's kind of how I think is the challenge of me as an artist, or as an artist, and me in particular as an artist. So I don't know how successful, and maybe that's why my stuff is so surrealist, because it's so bizarre, because you're thinking on different levels. You're thinking on the real level. You're thinking on this other level, and maybe 2 or 3 other levels that are based in reality, others based in metaphor, and using cartoon characters, who God knows where that comes from, but you're kind of throwing that into the mix. And then it's like personal, because you're in there, you got a picture of you in there holding your nose or whatever, and so it's like on so many different levels. But that's what I'm trying to do, to try to piece it all together and have it all make sense. And that's why I say it's all a part of the tapestry of our lives and the quilt of who we are. And at the end, it will all make sense. Certainly, I feel that in my case, whether it's true for other artists or conceptual artists who are doing like big red dots on white canvases, what the fuck that means, I don't know. And how that will make sense at the end of their career, who's to say? But I definitely believe, going through what I've gone through, believing to a certain degree in art therapy or just the revelatory aspects of art, of a person's life in their art, I think certainly by the time I'm 60, 70, 80, or time to check out, if we were to put it all together, it would all make sense. Or at least I'd have the corners of the puzzle.
Well, I marinating that thought of what if, because I do that too in myself and in my art, and I can sense that in your paintings. Now that you've articulated it, and I can sense that how that could drive you crazy too.
I don't think it drives me crazy. Thank God I'm on something, and who knows? It could be a placebo. You know, this shot I'm taking is just something that's like a painful placebo, something I get every month that hurts like a bitch for a couple of days, but isn't really helping me one way or the other, and I'm kind of straight. Who's to say? I've, that's another thing I think about, that's kind of a question of driving yourself crazy. But if it is working, and the medication's keeping me stable and sane, which God knows it's doing, or something is doing that, I am stable and sane, thank God, then I don't think I'm driving myself crazy. I'm allowing myself to kind of think as far as I can fling myself and not get too far where I can't reel myself back in and say, okay, I'm okay again. Yeah. Time to eat. Time to sleep. Time to bathe yourself, clean yourself, wash your clothes. You know. But when it's time to think that far out stuff, I can go there, but I can also reel myself back in. I know insanity for me was not being able to reel myself back in and let those thoughts get further and further flung until you're flinging over the cliff. And falling with it, and thinking not only that nothing will catch you, but that you can fly. You're going over the cliff, and at some point, you're going to take flight. And it never happened, unfortunately. But
so. We know a guy who tried to fly off the 6th floor.
Who's that?
Jose.
Jose.
The fly.
Who's that? Which Jose?
Which Jose? He was doing a cartoon, a comic.
Oh, the comic. He did a thing. I didn't hear that. I may have heard that. Is he dead?
No. He screwed himself, his body
up.
Oh,
yeah.
Wound up in the mental hospital, but he was on some marijuana or something.
PCP, I think it was.
And he jumped off. He thought he could fly.
Yeah. He was a good kid, though. He tried hard.
I don't know where he is. Have you heard anything?
He disappeared. He got very discouraged. They were putting him through school at SVA, and he realized that while he, as an outside artist, he was okay. As an artist going to SVA, which is a professional school, he didn't quite measure up. And he got very disillusioned and disappointed in himself. See, going there with people who probably were touched in some way, as all artists are, but a little more grounded in reality and producing really fine work. And he's doing these cartoons that were kind of rudimentary and crude and not even good. No, I won't say good, but not even standard, let's just say, comic book cartoon fare. You know, he got disillusioned and stopped going. Well, his grades suffered and realized it wasn't for him.
Do you think that in your instance of your own insecurity, going back to that, that maybe that's a natural thing?
Probably. I'm sure a lot of people are insecure. I'm sure Donald Trump doesn't think he has a big enough penis. You know? I mean, everybody's insecure, I think. Even those who... That's what narcissism also is about. It's more of masking your insecurity, overlaying with a whole lot of bluster to hide your insecurities. I mean, even those who seem like they're the masters of the universe, as with Mo, my dominatrix friend, the masters of the universe who, like, had everything and more, would come to her on Thursday or Friday, usually Thursday, because Friday they'd spend it with the family and do their weekend thing. So on Thursday, they'd show up and say, "Let me eat your shit, mistress. Let me walk on me, mistress. Just total power exchange. Total power exchange." She'd beat the shit out of him, and total insecurity. So everybody's got their own insecurities. I don't think we just have to be talking about mine and going in depth and in detail with it. But everybody's got their own insecurities. And it would be a shock for some people to hear my insecurities, especially about my art, especially people who've seen my art, or people who know me and see me bring pieces in like every other day, and they're really good. They'd be like, "What? He feels that way?" Because it's like some of the pieces are very, very good, I have to admit. And even the stuff that isn't very good, or even stuff that I don't think is very good, is better than some people's best. You know? So some people would be shocked or just curious why I would feel so insecure about certain things, especially my art or myself. But everybody's got their own insecurities. That's what makes us human.
You know, interesting, last night we were talking about your observations of how you want people to see you. How do you see yourself now?
I don't really see myself too much. I don't get bogged down, and I've grown to a degree or matured to a level where so much of the experience in being locked up in a mental hospital for 20 years is how they're perceiving me, you know? So much of that experience is don't be crazy, you know? Don't be a sexual predator. Don't be whatever it is that they may have mentioned in passing they think that you are. For God's sake, don't be that. Don't be this. Don't be that. Don't be this. And you kind of neglect or forget about being yourself or being who you are. And it's a question of not being perceived as this, that, or the other thing, because you know that's bad and that will slow you down or maybe not keep you from getting out altogether. But since I've gotten out, I don't concern myself with how I'm perceived or, you know, I wear my hair loose. I wear my hair, in a natural freestyle. And there are times I don't shave and I grow a beard and I feel cool with that, and I'll wear whatever I feel like wearing. And I feel very secure in many ways. Even though I have my insecurities, which are kind of holdovers from childhood and the 20-year experience in a hospital, but I feel very myself. So I'm not really concerned about how people see me. I don't really care. There's a part of me that does not give a fuck what people think about me.
But yet, while you were in institutionalized, what was that? What was going through your mind?
What do you mean? You have to expand. You took me back.
What I'm trying to say is, what is that experience like for somebody like you to spend 20 years, and especially the last years of when you were more?
I just explained that.
You were always kind of second guessing reality, checking yourself.
Sure. Especially when you're trying to get out, and they say you can't get out because X, Y, and Z, and you have to stop and think, wait a minute, I'm X, Y, and Z now? Wait, oh God, how did that happen? And wow, and then you check yourself with your friends. I'd ask other people. They're saying I'm such and such and so. I've said it to you. What do you think about it? They say this, that, and the other thing, but I don't think so. But I don't know. I mean, it's like, so you second guess yourself all the time. But in the end, you just gotta. That's what it was in terms of mounting the case to get out. You gotta believe in who you are, and who you are not, and get the fuck out of there, if you can. They held me from when I was 24 till I was 44, because I got old. I got old. I mean, in my 30s, they wouldn't let me go. I was wearing spandex. My dick was 12 inches long. I was a superhero. And that scared the shit out of them. I'm fucking people. I'm doing paintings and showing how I'm fucking people while in the paintings, the administration is watching, going, "Oh my god!" Yeah, I'm just really flaunting it, man. They couldn't let me go. I was too ferocious. I was too ferocious. But after 20 years, they didn't let me go. I kind of fought my way out. But still, in all, you know. They were planning to hold me until I got old. And that's what they do. Especially if you come in there in your 20s or in your early 30s.
Your roommate you just heard about
your roommate. Yeah, our roommate died. And he wasn't going to get out. He killed somebody and then raped her or something, and which is terrible. But he felt bad. We did talk. A little bit he did say about it. He always felt bad. But he did his time. And then they found out he was mentally ill. So they put him in a mental hospital. So he's doing double time.
You've been in with some strange characters.
I've seen some pretty.
And you've been strange yourself.
Well, what does that mean? Of course, I've been sick. So.
No, I'm just saying. So what is it? How, when you see other people who are melting down, sick.
I think everybody. It's like pot calling. I don't know. It's. I don't know how to put it or what in a cliche sense, but everybody looks at everybody else and saying, "I'm glad I'm not as fucked up as that guy." Even James, your friend, you know, "I'm so glad I'm not fucked up like that," you know. And meanwhile, he's really fucked up, you know. So I don't know. And I had a touch of that too when I first came into the system. You know, I wasn't one of the club who walked around with people with heads in their buckets. You know, which there was a club of that. There were quite a few guys who
over-medicated?
No, walk around with a head in a bucket get there. They kill the person, then chop the person up, then rape the body parts, then put the head in a bucket and walk around the streets and put the head in a. This one guy, two guys, got a locker in Grand Central Station and put the head in the locker, put the bucket with the head in the locker, go get something to eat at Sbarro's or Grace Papaya. Come back, get the bucket, walk around with it, talk to it, walk around, then go put it back. And take it on Staten Island Ferry, talking and show it the Statue of Liberty from the bucket. Yeah, there's just, you know, that was like a thing for a while.
Oh, you're kidding?
The head in the bucket.
The head in the bucket.
The head or body part. Carrying, walk around with a body part. This guy used to, he hurt somebody and killed her and raped her and then wrapped her up in foil and then took parts of it. Out with them.
There's one guy who fed it to homeless people.
Fed it to the homeless. That was pretty. Yeah, that was pretty gruesome.
Did you know that guy?
I knew that guy. Yeah, I knew that guy. It's pretty gruesome.